Welcome to the Guts Church Podcast. My name is Kennedy Shear, and thanks so much for joining us. Today, we have a great word from my dad, Pastor Bill Shear. If this ministry has changed your life, will you let us know? Send us an email to story@gutschurch.com.
Man, I want to welcome you guys tonight. It's an honor, but it's also a big-time pleasure. To be here. I was at a pastor's event last night and this morning in Conway, Arkansas, New Life Church. Pastor Rick Bizet hosted it. It was just an amazing church. But most of the pastors that talked to me wanted to talk about one thing, our internship. And I don't know what people are saying about it out there, but everybody wants to model it, echo it, mirror it. And I just want you guys to know that most of the pillars in our church, and I'm not saying all of them, but most of them have been through the internship. And some people come in as projects. Some people come in just in a transition in their life, maybe graduated high school or college, or maybe are taking a year off or trying to, you know. But I hopefully everybody that even applies has that twinge in their heart that God's hands on their life, and there's a call on their life. And I want you guys to be reticent of that and know that there's a definitive call that's on your life. And and I'll tell you, if I want to be the best communicator on the planet to be able to just say that to you, that, man, God's hands in your life, and God wants to use you. And what he wants to use you, listen, is a conduit. That he referred to Abraham as just his son of blessing. And he said, and in you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. Why? Because we're conduits of God's blessing and conduits of the lift that God wants to give us in our lives. You know, you look at a lot of ministry and a lot of outreach that we do, the Friday groceries, other things that we do all the time that most churches do. They'll pick a day a year and they'll call it a serve day. And that really doesn't fly because the culture of this church is every day. I mean, we're serving. Every day people are served in our community through the distribution center and other aspects of our church. But in order for you to realize the call that's on your life is you have to activate your faith. And activating your faith means that you find and you research and you dig in God's word and you find his promise. Okay, and then you're able to speak his promise. And as you speak that promise, then your life follows suit. Your life is going to follow the words that you speak. If your words are fearful, you're going to be full of anxiety. If your words are down, you're going to be full of depression. If your words are God's promise, your life's going to be blessed, no matter what happens on the earth. Because I believe this, and you should write this down. Behind every natural law, there's a spiritual law. And the spiritual law is activated by words that are spoken. Wars are started by words. The crime happens because words are come out of people's mouths and they feel like they're cornered. And let me just tell you, man, you're not in any way cornered. I'm telling you, God's word promises that you're the head and not the tail, above only and not beneath. That greater, and you guys that have been to church here for a while, I've kind of got an order to this that just comes out like that. Greater is he who's in me than he who's in the world. Why? Because these are things I profess. And you'll say, well, the profession of your faith, why is it so? Because I'll tell you, it's contrary to what I feel a lot of times. You know, you get up and you got to put your game face on, but it's not just that. Because you put your game face on, the devil's going to try you. And the devil's going to come after you. And he's going to try to snare you by the words that you speak. And see, and that's why this is pivotal. Do you know there's a scripture that maybe, it's in the Psalms, that maybe you've never heard before, but Psalm 10:5 says, his ways are always prospering. Everybody read that with me, will you? His ways are always prospering. Read it again. His ways are always prospering. See how easy that is to say? Now, what if that became the profession of your faith? How many of you guys, that feels like a promise to you? That's a promise. So when you speak that promise, you have the power of the life of that promise in your tongue. When you speak that promise, guess what? That promise materializes in your life. The Bible says that God, the worlds were framed by God's word. The Bible says that God's word is the seed that he gives us. You prospering is that God gives it to you in seed form. And that's exactly what Psalm 10:5 even says, that God's ways are prospering. John 14:6 says, Jesus said, look, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Man, he's the way for us to walk in the truth so that we can live the life that God's called us to live. Man, it's not depressing. It's not up and down. The book of James, we're going to get into here in a minute, it says that, man, when we're double-minded, we're unstable in all of our ways. And so many people, man, I'm believing God. Oh, my gosh, what's happening? But God, I'm standing in your promise. Oh, God, all hell's breaking loose. When are things going to turn around? Would you stop that? See, God's word is alive and it's powerful. His promises are yes and amen. Yes, and so be it. Yes, and absolutely. Yes, and I put my foot down and I claim that what God's given me in his word. See, but listen, a lot of times us speaking his word, we're putting a demand on his promise. And I know that sounds awkward, like can we demand of God? You know, God requires us to put a demand on his promise, to say, God, just like you would, how many of you guys have a checking account? How many of you guys have an ATM card? How many of you guys have money in your ATM, in your checking account? How many of you guys know your PIN number? How many of you guys go to that machine, you put that card in, you put the PIN number? If there's money in that account, guess what? You're putting a demand in that account. That's what the Bible is for us. That we can put a demand on God's promise. His ways are prospering. Man, you know what? There's just an incline about our lives. It doesn't matter what's happening in the market. Man, see, none of this, all of it is conditional upon us overcoming our fears and overcoming our doubts and overcoming how we feel and what we see. It's not, listen, has nothing to do with external conditions or circumstances. Well, I just lost my job. The Bible doesn't say that God's ways are prospering until you lose your job. Right? God's ways are prospering until the market turns. God's ways are prospering. No, you know what? We work heartily as of unto the Lord. Man, some of you guys, instead of asking for a raise, you'd work for nothing. I promise you, most of our staff, Brian Tyler would do what he is doing for nothing. For as far as I know, Brian may be independently wealthy. Brian's got so many innovative things and he's so entrepreneurial. I have no idea. But let me just tell you, I know what he does serving God and serving this house and serving you and serving me. He's not doing it for the money. See, that's how we live our lives. This is an example of the life that God's given us to live. Man, I'll tell you, once a month, Sandy will come in the office and say, I don't want to get paid anymore. Give him my paycheck. And I'm like, Sandy, can I have a vote in this? You know, our money's pooled. It's not her money and my money. But see, the point is, that's her heart. Man, I'm dreaming of the day where, yeah, I'm not deriving a paycheck for doing what I'm doing. See, so I look at you, that God's ways are prospering. But see, maybe you get punched in the mouth. Maybe you come upon an abutment or some kind of situation and you're thinking, how am I going to get through this? Well, let me tell you what Solomon, he was asked, what do you want? God said, what do you want from me? And you know what? He didn't say more money or more stuff or more fame or more influence. He said, wisdom. And then he said, and if I can ask for a little more, understanding as well. Wisdom and understanding. The Bible says wisdom is the principal thing. Can you write that down? Wisdom is the principal thing. And in James, and notice, listen, James was not one of the two James who were of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. James was the half-brother of Jesus that didn't serve Jesus until after the resurrection. And James writes this epistle. And he said, if any of you lacks wisdom, and let me tell you, he lived his life lacking wisdom. Jesus was his half-brother, and he didn't recognize him for who he was, even though he grew up with him. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, okay? Now listen, we all want to stop there, and we want to think, wait a second, but there are conditions upon this wisdom. That's why few people walk in it. That's why you're hit and miss in it. Let me tell you, God hadn't called us to live a roller coaster. God hadn't called us to live our life up and down and peaks and valleys. No, you know what? Man, we just get through it. See, this life is a hurdle. And that hurdle in your lane can't stop you in your tracks. See, you come to church to learn how to navigate these hurdles in the race that God's called you to win. See, God's called us to win the race that he's given us. And you know what? We don't get to pick our enemies. We just get the access to wisdom that God gives us. The principal thing, wisdom. Let him ask of God who gives to all, listen, liberally and without reproach. That means you might have screwed up last week, but God's still going to give you wisdom right now. You might have messed up this morning or last night. God's going to give you wisdom today. All you've got to do is ask him, and he gives it to you liberally and without reproach. And it will be given to him. Verse 6 says, but let him ask in faith. This is trusting God's promise, trusting God's word. See, I'm going to help you tonight overcome whatever it is that you're dealing with. This is how your marriage gets strong. This is how your kids serve God. This is how the legacy of ministry in your family begins to build, is in the information that you're getting tonight. With no doubting. Without a doubt. And you know what? What does that tell you? Doubt's surely going to come. But see, we've got to get adept at it. If he knew that I was going to punch him in the mouth, man, if I tried to punch him and he knew, like, try to punch me. I'm not accepting that. I'm not receiving that. See, otherwise, we just get hit and we get back up and we say, well, I don't know if it's worth it. I don't know. No, that doubting is just the devil just slapping you around. That doubt is going to come. You know why? You have senses. You have experiences. You have an education. How were you raised? Were you raised to trust God? Were you raised to say things like, the last time I was sick is the last time I'm getting sick? My last car accident's the last car accident I'm ever going to have. The Bible says you eat good the fruit that comes out of your mouth. See, and the bottom line is we do have that kind of authority. And you know what? That's what the occupying in the book of Genesis and Deuteronomy that God referred to is that we occupy till he comes. That occupying is that we have authority and we take control. When we go in and we occupy countries, we occupy different areas or regions, we don't just go in and hang out. We go in and usurp our authority, our will. And see, and that's what, but ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. See, what's that wave? One minute it's up, the next minute it's down. Just getting tossed around. Almost where you're staggering like somebody who's drunk. And you know what? Man, you're drunk and I remember years ago, before I was a Christian, I'd go into a parking lot, it happened regularly, it's like, man, people say, sure, you're too drunk to drive. No, I'm not. Where'd I park? I can't even find my vehicle, but I think that I'm sober enough to drive. See, I think that's what the enemy does, deceives us into thinking, you know what? And we're just staggering through life, expecting God to do something for us. See, where we've got to be is our footing has to be on the rock of Christ Jesus. And then God can pour out a blessing that we're unable to receive. It's so great. Man, just think about the principle of the tithe. You guys that tithe tonight, you guys that gave tonight, do you understand what you did tonight? There needs to be a revelation comes in your life that what you did tonight when you gave and you tithe was the most sure investment you've ever made. The most. Man, the Bible says when you tithe, God said, prove me now in this. that I not open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing you're unable to receive. I'll rebuke the devourer from the midst of you. Your fruit won't fall immature from the vine, and you'll be called a delightful land. Man, some of you guys that are worried, some of you guys that have maybe diseased or are infirm children, let me tell you, those children can't succumb to that disease. Let me tell you why, because you tithe. Your fruit, your children won't fall immature from the vine. They're going to live a long, healthy life. They're going to fulfill God's purpose. So they're going to marry the right people, right? Because that's a stand of faith. And we don't doubt. We're not tossed around by the, but for let not that man suppose that he'll receive anything of the Lord. Why? Because the Bible calls him double-minded. And I'll tell you, if you think about it, you're tempted to be double-minded all the time. And if you fall prey to that, temptation, listen, double-minded, because out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth is going to speak. And I'll tell you, man, God, there's no way that God's not faithful to his promise. And if God's faithful, what we've got to do is we've got to access that promise. Listen, in like kind, we've got to be faithful to God's word. What is that? We believe and therefore speak. We believe and therefore speak. That's the same level of faith that early Christians, that the Bible refers to Christians as having, is we believe and therefore speak. And you know what? It sounds goofy because the bottom line is because we're not in denial. We're just not accepting the report the world's given us. See, there's a big difference. See, because the debt that Jesus paid, he said it is finished, not just your eternity, but it's heaven on earth. That's what Jesus said, on earth as it is in heaven. Everybody say on earth as it is in heaven. See, and if you would draw a circle, and in that circle you put down everything that your heart was heavy. This is a great exercise for you to do tonight. Is you draw a circle on a piece of paper, and around that circle, everything that your heart's heavy about. My heart's heavy about my finances. My heart's heavy about my marriage. My heart's heavy about my child. My heart's heavy about my daughter's pregnancy. My heart's heavy about my situation at work. My heart's heavy about, and you write those things around that circle, and then you begin to pray. And you say, God, I just thank you right now for my marriage. God, I thank you for my finances. And let me tell you, man, God's going to heat up one of those things. Man, one of those things is going to be real heavy. And that's a thing that you apply God's word to for immediately. And you begin to pick those things off. So here's seven simple principles that just came out of these verses right here that we read in James 1. Number one is we pray to the Father. And let me just tell you, I'm going to step on some of your doctrinal toes. You might not agree with me, but just understand, if you disagree with what I'm about to say, you're wrong. We don't pray to Jesus. We pray to God. We don't say, oh, Jesus, I need some help. Man, let me tell you, that's communion. That's fellowship with him. But I'm telling you, you make your request known to God. And see what Jesus said. But number two is, we pray in the name of Jesus. So we pray to God in Jesus' name. Number three, we pray by the Holy Spirit. Listen to this, because if we're praying to God and we're letting God know his promise, we're reminding of his promise, we're putting a demand on his promise, and then we're praying in the name of Jesus, the Bible says no man can call Jesus Lord except by the Holy Spirit. So as soon as you say in Jesus' name, now boom, the very breath of heaven, the power of God comes into that prayer. Are you still with me? So we pray to the Father in Jesus' name by the Holy Spirit. Now listen, with full understanding of our rights and our privileges. See, what we have to understand now is we have full access, total access to heaven. We have total access to all of God's promises. There are, at my last count, over 7,700 of those promises. Man, you found out tonight, go back to Psalm 10:5. If we can go back to that on the screen. Psalm 10:5 is real easy. God's ways, God, your ways are prospering. God, Your ways are always, listen, I left that out, I'm sorry. Always prospering, always prospering, always prospering. No matter what's happened, what does always mean? Man, think about it. God's ways, Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. There's a way for me to live, to seek first the kingdom of God, God's way of doing things, and his righteousness. I'm not righteous of myself. The reason I have any access to God's promise is because Jesus paid the price for me to have that access. See, that's what we've got to understand. I am vehement about this. We pray to God the Father. We pray in Jesus' name. We pray by the Holy Spirit. We pray understanding that I want to, God, give me an understanding of my rights and my privileges as a believer in Jesus. Man, write this down. My authority as a believer. You know what your authority is? It's over everything that walks, crawls, slips, swims, and flies on this earth. The Bible says that you touch any deadly thing, it won't harm you. Why? You have authority over that deadly thing. See, nothing dead can stay in God's promise. Nothing dead can stay in his presence. So you know what? God takes the things in our life that we thought were dead, and he flips them. We serve a God who calls those things which be not as though they were and gives life to the dead. You got dead areas of your life, man, you speak life. Why? Because that's what God's speaking. So number five is we put our agreement, our harmony with God's word. I'm just agreeing with you, God. See, that's all faith is. Faith is me agreeing with God. Not what we see, not how we feel. Man, what does God say about your marriage? What does God say about your finances? How about all your needs met according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus? How about my cup overflows? Surely goodness and mercy follow me. I don't have to look back. Why? Goodness and mercy is following me all the days of my life, and I dwell in his house forever. How about those who were planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God, and even in old age will be fresh and flourishing. How about that one? See, this connects with the spirit that's on the inside of you. Do you understand that? This is speaking and feeding and building up that inner man on the inside of you. See, the Bible says bodily exercise profits little. But you know what? Our spiritual exercise, which is what we're doing right now, I'm telling you, you're an overcomer. And you know why? Because you've got the word of God's promise and you've got the blood of Jesus. Man, it's what my testimony is. My testimony is what I'm speaking during, through, and after my test. See, that's what I've got to understand. I've got to agree with God's word. Number six, in faith without doubting, with faith without a doubt. And see, let me tell you what God's going to do. Your role is that you trust God without doubting. God's role is, listen, and write this down. This is the B side of number six. God makes his presence known and his promise real without a doubt. And see, what's awesome about this and what the word establishes is God's a God of precedent. So if God's a God of precedent, if God has healed anybody, he has to heal you. If God has blessed anybody, he has to bless you. If God has delivered anybody, he has to bless you. Man, I was a drunken, drug-addicted idiot for the last 5 years I wasn't a Christian. And I gave my life to Jesus, I was hungover. I still had a taste for all of that. But you know what? That pastor looked at me at that altar and he said, you're a new creation in Christ. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And you know what? I was mad. I was irritated. The whole thing just made me nauseous. But when he spoke those words, guess what? They hit my heart. Listen, like a seed. You know what I am now? I'm living proof of a new creation. where old things have passed away and all things have become new. That's how this whole thing started for me. That one word from God. Man, that's what I'm hoping for you. That one word from God tonight turns things around. That one word from God tonight gives you the prompting to take a step of faith from where you were. And guess what that is? That's your deliverance. Your deliverance come by you just getting out of the way, just taking a step. You're in a, man, I'm in a bad place. I'm in a dark place. Good. Come to church. 0% of you guys right now are in a bad place. 0% of you guys right now are in a dark place. None of you. But you know what? You could choose to leave the light and go back to the dark, like a dog returning to its vomit. And number 7, we praise God for the answer even before we see it, even before we feel it. We're just thankful. God, thank you for healing me. You know why? God's a healer. Get it through your head. It isn't what he does. It's who he is. It's the culture of this church. Man, you've got to fight it not to be about this culture. Because that inner man on the inside of you, that man of faith and power, that spirit man that lives on the inside of you, is getting built up every time you hear that inner man in you hears God's the healer, it gets built up a little more. It swells up a little more. It gets stronger and stronger and stronger. And what I want to do is I want to be so convincing. And it's not by the tone of my voice. Are the repetition? No, it's by the countless scripture. Do you need 100 scriptures? Is that what you need? Pertaining God's financial backing of your life? Do you understand the Bible says you've got a business, right, Kev? Everything you put your hand to prospers. Man, the devil's gonna say, yeah, but what if they don't pay? Or what about cash flow? Because cash flow is such a big deal. I've sold too much and now I'm worried about my cash flow. Yeah, you know what that is? That's just deception of the enemy. God, I thank you. The life I live is a life of more than enough. God, my cash flow is more than enough in Jesus' name. And guess what? Those words that you speak trump the thoughts that you have. You want to beat doubt? You speak God's word. You let it come out of your mouth. Otherwise, this isn't going to work. I'm just telling you. Man, there's a point here where maybe it feels like you need to be fed like a newborn babe, like you need to be bottle fed. And you can, but there's a certain point where you get too big for someone to hold you with that bottle in your mouth. You know, there's so many people that come in, man, I need to talk to somebody. And once they get it out and they pray, you know what that's like? That's just like popping somebody up on your shoulder and patting their back and then burping. I'm just telling you, most of the schemes of the enemy in your life are gas bubbles. I'm not kidding you. How many of you guys ever had a gassy baby? Man, it's like hell on earth, isn't it? It's like, oh my gosh, there must be a compound fracture of their femur and it's sticking through the skin the way they're screaming. No, it's a gas bubble. You pop that baby up on your shoulder, you're like, hey, I got you. God, I just thank you right now. This baby's going to quit crying in Jesus' name. Whatever this baby needs, God, I thank you that you're going to give this baby. There you go. See, that's what a lot of this is. And I'm not trying to be trite. I'm not trying to belittle anybody. But I'm telling you, God's bigger than whatever you're dealing with. But you know what? The principles apply. And 7 simple principles. Man, you pray to the Father in Jesus' name by the Holy Spirit. Why? Because God's way is always prospering. So you live your way and you're having a hard time. Do the math. If you're taking a route that's not prospering, it's not God's route. So you got to go, God, I thank you today that you give me wisdom to find your route and you give it to me liberally and without reproach. And God, I don't have a doubt in my mind. I'm not receiving any doubt. because I have what I say. And God, I'm not double-minded. My eyes, my gaze, you know, it's interesting because the Bible even says, man, we look straight ahead. We don't look to the right or to the left, but we keep our eyes on you. And it's funny because the first 10 prophetic words I heard as a Christian in 1979, I don't know, it must have been these guys, it was prophet school 101 or something. These guys, they'd say, I say, keep your eyes on me, says the Lord. Don't look to the left or to the right. And it got to the point where God'd get up and he'd give a prophetic word and it would be that. Remember those days, Jeremy? And I thought, oh my gosh, but let me tell you, somehow that stuck with me. Somehow there's all those periphery things, those things. Let me tell you, the gospel is not, listen, it's not, please understand, it's our focus. It's not on the periphery. The world's a periphery. Your problems are the periphery. Your issues are the periphery. Man, what's God's will for your marriage? What's God's will for your children? Is God ever going to let you down? Is God ever going to not be faithful to his word? I'm telling you, all of that stuff, it's yes and amen. Yes and amen. His word's true. All you have to do is speak it and you'll have it. You speak doubt, you speak unbelief, you speak fear. You'll be double-minded. Don't expect to receive anything of the Lord. You know what we refer to that as in my home? As of under the flesh. The strength of the flesh. I don't need Jesus if I'm going to live by the flesh. What, just to go to heaven? That's a big deal. That's a grand prize. But you know what? If I'm living like that, I'm not taking anybody with me. Man, there's people that, there's really smart people that love God, that don't understand these seven principles that I taught tonight, that'll be diagnosed with a tumor. And they'll say, God, thank you for trusting me with your suffering, giving me that tumor. And then literally 20 seconds later, and God, I'm asking you to heal that tumor. And I'm sitting there listening, I'm thinking, you got to pick a side. Either pick that God gave it to you, or pick that God makes it nothing. But I'm telling you, what I say is, I'm picking the side of God's promise, that he brings it to nothing. The Bible says this. You guys ready for a good word? How many of you guys are ready for a good? How many of you guys are ready to receive a prophetic word tonight from God? No evil shall befall you, nor any plague come near where you live. How many of you guys received that one? Huh? No evil shall befall you, nor any plague come near where you live. See, you look at this, you're like, wait a second, because it feels like there's evil all around me. No, it doesn't seem like it. There is. But guess what? The greater one of Israel lives on the inside of you. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords has taken residency permanently on the inside of you. And all you've got to do is receive, agree, and speak his promise. And that's how it works. No evil shall befall you, nor any plague come near where you live. Man, I'll tell you, it's a great word, isn't it? Man, please leave here encouraged today. Please leave here trusting God. And let me tell you, we'll turn Tulsa into an on-fire place for God and Oklahoma. Oklahoma might as well be the first Christian state in the Union, because you live here. Why not? You have access to God's heart right now.
Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. If you'd like more information about the ministries of Guts Church, visit our website at gutschurch.com.